Have you ever felt like you should understand something, like health insurance, but it all just seems so needlessly confusing, kind of like a puzzle you're not supposed to solve?
Oh, absolutely. It's that feeling of being lost in a maze
Right.
where all that jargon and so many different plans. That's actually why we're doing this deep dive today.
Yeah, our mission is to take some really solid information about health insurance and cut through the clutter. We're using Health Chapter 3 Introduction to Health Insurance. It's a really great resource, for understanding the basics.
This chapter is like the foundation. It explains different types of coverage, all the important terms, and the basic ideas behind it all. What I find really interesting is how it talks about the importance of health insurance. They say it's not just about protecting yourself, it's about how our whole society pays for medical care. Everything from your local doctor's office to those big medical discoveries.
Yeah, so it's not just a personal choice then.
Right. And the source, it contrasts that feeling of security you get with insurance with tempting fate, which is like a pretty powerful image, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a stark choice.
For sure. And to understand what exactly we're trying to protect ourselves from, the chapter goes on to talk about the two main perils that health insurance covers. They're like the two big things that can happen to your health: accidents and sickness.
Okay, so let's jump into how it actually works. I mean, what's the basic idea behind health insurance?
Well, it's like this. Instead of you having to pay for all those unexpected medical expenses yourself, that risk is spread out among a whole bunch of people. So you pay a smaller, regular amount, which is your premium, and that money from everyone is used to cover the big costs for the people in the group who need medical care.
So it's like a giant pot of money, a safety net for everyone who's contributing to it.
Exactly. And if you look at the big picture, a good health insurance system, it's crucial for the whole healthcare system to work, It keeps hospitals and doctors running. It also helps pay for research into new treatments and technologies.
And this all ties back to our listeners, right? I mean, a serious illness or a bad accident without insurance, that could lead to some serious debt.
Oh, for sure. Health insurance, it's like a shield, protecting you and your family from those huge medical bills. It brings some predictability to an area of life that's usually totally unpredictable.
Right. Speaking of predictability, let's talk about accidents and sickness. I'm curious, how does the source define those, in the context of insurance?
Sure. An accident, they say, is unintentional bodily injury caused by an unforeseen event. So things like if you trip and fall, a car accident, or you get hurt playing sports, basically anything unexpected that causes a physical injury.
Okay, things you can't plan for, and sickness covers everything else.
Pretty much. The source defines it as a need for medical care due to a cause other than an accident. That's a big category. Everything from a simple cold to a chronic condition like diabetes, even mental health stuff.
Why is it important to separate those two? Does it really matter in practice?
It can, actually, especially when we talk about limited coverage. Some policies only cover one or the other. Like you can get accident-only insurance. So knowing the difference is important for understanding what your specific policy covers. And it shows that not all health insurance is the same.
That's a really good point. Now, a topic that always seems to cause confusion is pre-existing conditions. What does the source tell us about those?
A pre-existing condition, they define it as an illness or disease that existed before someone got health insurance. And in the past, this was a big problem. Insurance companies could refuse to cover anything related to those conditions, or they'd make you wait a long time before they would cover it.
Yeah, I remember stories about people being denied coverage because of something from years ago, but the Affordable Care Act, or ACA, changed that, right?
Yeah, it did, for most medical expense policies at least. The ACA made it so that insurance companies can't really exclude pre-existing conditions anymore, which was a huge change for making healthcare fairer.
That's a relief. But the source does say there are still some exceptions to that rule. Can you tell us about those?
Right. The ACA changed a lot for medical expenses, but for some other types of policies, like disability income policies, long-term care insurance, Medicare supplement policies, and certain limited benefit plans, they can still use those pre-existing condition exclusions.
So if someone has a pre-existing condition and they're looking at something like a disability policy, they might still run into that.
Yes, they could. It's a good reminder not to assume anything about health insurance. You really need to read the fine print of every policy you're considering. One size doesn't fit all.
Yeah, for sure. The source then talks about the different kinds of health insurance policies that are available. And it seems like there are a lot of them, huh?
Definitely. Healthcare is a big, complex world, and there are all these different insurance policies to cover different needs. The source even says it's normal for people to have multiple policies to make sure they're covered in different situations.
So let's take a look at some of them. The first one is hospital medical expense coverage. What's that about?
This is what most people think of as their main health insurance. It helps pay for doctor visits, hospital stays, tests like lab work and x-rays, and medical supplies. Plus, it usually covers prescription drugs, too.
Okay, that's like the basic essential coverage. Then there's disability income insurance. That seems like a different kind of thing, right?
It is. It's not about paying for the care itself, but for protecting your income if you can't work for a while because of an accident or illness. The source says you can use the money for any living expenses, not just medical bills. They also call it income replacement or loss of time coverage.
Right, because even if your medical bills are paid, if you can't work, you still need to pay for everything else.
Exactly. Disability income insurance, it's there for you if you lose your income because of health problems. Then we have dental expense insurance, which is pretty self-explanatory, but what are the specifics?
Yeah, what does it usually cover?
Well, it's for dental care, so things like cleanings, fillings, and more complicated procedures, crowns, root canals, sometimes even braces. It works like medical expense insurance, but for your teeth.
Okay, so a separate thing for dental care.
Right.
And then long-term care insurance, also known as LTC. What's that for?
LTC is for when someone needs long-term care, like for a chronic illness, a cognitive impairment, you know, like Alzheimer's, or if they need help with what they call activities of daily living, or ADLs.
ADLs, what are those?
The source lists them as bathing, dressing, eating, toileting, transferring, which means getting in and out of bed or a chair, and continence.
Yeah.
So if you can't do those things because of a health condition, LTC insurance can help pay for the care you need, whether it's at home, in an assisted living facility, or a nursing home.
Makes sense, especially as people are living longer and facing more age-related health issues. Mm-hmm. Now, the source talks about who provides health insurance, and they make a distinction between public and private insurers. Can you explain that?
Sure. There are two main types, private and government. Private insurers are companies, businesses that compete with each other to offer health insurance plans.
And what about government insurers? What's their role?
They provide health insurance to specific groups of people, based on the law, and these programs are usually paid for by taxes. The source lists the main federal health insurance programs.
Okay, let's hear them. First, there's TRICARE. Who's covered by that?
That's for active duty and retired military personnel and their families. It provides comprehensive health care for them.
And then there's veterans benefits. Who are those for?
Those are for people who have served in the military and have been discharged. The VA provides a range of health care services to eligible veterans.
Next is Medicare, probably the best known government health program.
Yeah, Medicare is mainly for people 65 and older, but also younger people with disabilities and people with end-stage renal disease. It's really important for seniors and those with disabilities.
And then there's Medicaid. How's that different from Medicare?
Medicaid is a federal and state program. It provides coverage for low-income adults, children, pregnant women, the elderly, and people with disabilities. The rules and benefits can vary from state to state.
And the last federal program is Social Security Disability. How does that relate to health insurance?
So SSDI provides benefits, including access to Medicare after a waiting period, for people who are totally and permanently disabled and who meet certain work requirements.
The source also mentions that state governments are involved in providing health insurance. What do they do?
Many states have workers' compensation programs, which cover medical costs and lost wages for people who get hurt or sick on the job. And some states have their own disability insurance programs to provide short-term benefits to workers.
So it's a complex system involving both federal and state governments, as well as private companies. Now, the source talks about comprehensive and limited health insurance. What's the difference for the consumer?
It's pretty simple. Comprehensive plans offer broad coverage. They're designed to protect you from most medical expenses. Limited policies, on the other hand, only cover specific things or certain situations.
And then they go into detail about these limited benefit plans. What are some of the key things that define those?
Well, first, they usually cover limited perils. Unlike a comprehensive plan that covers most things, a limited benefit plan will only cover specific types of events or situations.
So it's more restricted. And what about the amount of money they pay?
That's the second thing, limited benefits. Comprehensive plans often have high or unlimited benefit maximums, but limited plans have much smaller preset amounts. They might pay a fixed amount per event, per day in the hospital, or for specific services.
Right, because they're only covering a smaller set of possibilities. The source also mentions a mandatory notice requirement for these plans. Why is that?
A lot of states require these plans to have a notice on the first page that says it only provides limited benefits. That's to make sure people understand they're not buying a comprehensive plan and that the coverage is limited.
That's a good thing. Protects the consumer. Okay, let's look at some examples of these limited policies. We've talked about accident-only coverage already.
Right. As the name says, these policies only cover injuries from accidents, nothing for sickness. And because they're so specific, the premiums are usually lower than plans that cover both accidents and illness. They might also cover things like dismemberment, disability, or even death from an accident.
Then there's specified, DRED, disease of critical illness coverage. That sounds pretty intense. What does it cover?
It does sound scary, right? These policies started as coverage for single catastrophic illnesses, like cancer. But now they often cover a range of critical conditions like stroke, heart attack, coma, kidney failure, paralysis, even organ transplants. They're sometimes called critical illness plans.
And the benefits are only for those specific conditions listed in the policy.
Exactly. It might be just one disease or a list of many, but the benefits are only for those specific illnesses. The source mentions that some plans might also have a health screening benefit to encourage early detection. It's important to know that these plans can be cheaper than comprehensive insurance, and thankfully, not everyone will experience these conditions. However, they might not cover all the costs associated with the illness, like living expenses, transportation, or the full cost of hospital stays. Some policies pay a lump sum when you're diagnosed.
Okay, that's good to know. What about hospital income, indemnity insurance? How does that work?
This one pays you a fixed amount for each day you're in the hospital as an inpatient. But they pay you directly, not the hospital. It's not to reimburse you for the actual costs, but to give you extra income while you're hospitalized. People use it to help cover deductibles and co-pays on their other insurance, or to pay bills if they can't work.
So it's more like financial support during a hospital stay than directly paying medical bills. Then we have credit disability insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen that when taking out loans.
Yeah, it's common for loans. If you take out a big loan, like for a car, the lender might offer or even require this insurance. It pays off the loan if you become disabled and can't make payments. It's usually a group policy, with the lender as the master policyholder and you as a member.
Is there anything specific people should know about credit disability policies?
Yeah, a few things. There's usually no individual medical underwriting because it's a group policy. The amount of coverage is tied to the loan balance, so it goes down as you pay off the loan. And the lender has to be very clear that you're buying this coverage. They can't just add it to your loan without telling you. They also can't force you to buy their policy. You can get coverage somewhere else and use that for the loan.
That's good to know. You have options. What about blanket coverage? What is that?
That's another type of group insurance, but the group is defined by a specific activity or location. Like if a company has a picnic for employees, people traveling on a bus, spectators at a game, or students on a campus, everyone in that group is automatically covered for that specific time. And because the group changes, they don't list individual names, and there's usually no application or anything.
So it's like a temporary, automatic coverage for specific events. Next is prescription drugs. Those can be a big expense.
Yeah, for sure. Coverage for prescription drugs can be part of your main medical plan, a separate policy, or even a standalone plan. They often have a network of pharmacies you have to use. There are two main ways they work, according to the source.
How do they work?
One is reimbursement. You pay for the medication and then submit a claim to get some money back. The other is using a drug card at a network pharmacy where you pay a small copay for each prescription. The source gives examples of typical copays for generic and brand name drugs. Also, most plans have a formulary, which is a list of covered medications, but they usually have to include at least one drug from each therapeutic category, so there are options for different conditions.
That makes sense. Then there's vision care. My regular insurance doesn't cover eye exams or glasses. Is that common?
Yeah, very common. Most medical plans only cover eye diseases and injuries, not routine things like eye exams or glasses. That's what vision care plans are for. They usually cover eye exams, lenses, frames, and sometimes contacts. Like drug plans, they often use a network of providers. There might be co-pays, limits on how often you can get exams or new glasses, and a limit on how much they'll pay for frames.
And there's also hearing insurance. People might not think about that one.
True. A lot of comprehensive plans don't cover hearing loss, like hearing exams or hearing aids, which can be very expensive. So these limited plans are there to cover those things.
Okay. Last but not least, the source talks about short-term medical expense plans. What are those for?
Those are for temporary coverage. Like if you're between jobs and waiting for your new insurance to start, they usually last for a short time, like 30 or 90 days, 6 months, or up to a year. They're not renewable, and you usually have to meet certain health requirements. They offer fewer benefits than comprehensive plans, but the monthly premium is lower, and sometimes there are restrictions on getting another short-term plan if you've already filed claims.
So it's like a temporary safety net.
Yeah.
Now, after going through all these types of coverage, the source mentions things that are not covered by health insurance. What are those?
Yeah, there are some standard exclusions you'll often see in the fine print. Yeah. A common one is intentionally self-inflicted injuries. Insurance is for unforeseen events, not things you do to yourself on purpose.
Makes sense. What else is usually excluded?
Injuries from war are often excluded, whether you're in the military or not. Elective cosmetic surgery, things done just to change your appearance, are usually not covered, unless it's medically necessary, like after an accident or to fix a birth defect.
And what about workplace injuries?
Those are usually covered by workers' compensation, a separate system for workplace injuries and illnesses. And lastly, the source mentions an exclusion for medical expenses from committing or trying to commit a felony, which is like saying they won't cover costs from illegal activities.
Okay, so we've covered what's usually not included. Wow, we've really covered a lot in this deep dive, from the basics of health insurance to all the different types of policies and what they don't cover.
We have. And even though this chapter gave us a great introduction, it's important to remember that health insurance is really complex. The best type of coverage for you depends on your situation, your health, and your finances.
So for our listeners, think about what we've discussed today. Which of these policies, from the broad, comprehensive ones to the more limited ones, might be relevant to you or someone you know?
And thinking about all the different ways health insurance is structured, from the broad safety net to the specific protection, it makes you wonder, what does this tell us about how we as a society and as individuals think about and prepare for the uncertainties of our health? That's something to think about.
Definitely.